What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
R&B money! We up! Thanks. Jay Valentine, we are the authorities on all things R&B.
Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? I am Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the R&B Money Podcast.
Yes, it is.
The authority on all things R&B.
Ooh. Silky R&B.
Silky R&B.
Yeah. I ain't by myself no more.
You ain't by yourself no more. Quality vocal.
Birdman hair rub.
Quality. You better rub your hands together, boy. You got a brother in arms in here today. This man is, I mean, listen, before the cameras came on, we were talking about the difference between an R&B singer, an R&B artist, and a recording artist. He's all of them. He's a monster. And I got a bone to pick with him. But we'll get there. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Mr. Kenny Lattimore.
Yeah.
In the building.
Yeah.
In the building.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So we're going to circle back to this because we love, and our probably we started at the beginning. We are informative. We want to see where it came from,
okay,
how it grew, how it got here, and all of that stuff. But I have to pick this bone with you first.
Okay.
Pick this with you, okay? I love you, but there's a small plate of beef, right? I get called to sing at this wedding.
Oh, you gonna start it off? Oh, I know where this is going.
Wasn't quite Tank yet.
Okay,
still derail.
I love it.
I say, "Want you to sing at our wedding? We want you to sing the song by Kenny Lattimore for you." I said, "Oh, that should be easy. could do that. Not a lot of vocal acrobatics in that one. Very straight ahead. Should be able to knock that out. Got the words, wrote the words down a little bit. Okay, all right, it's a lot of words. Okay, to me. Try the first verse at home. Try the first verse. Oh, yeah, I can knock this out. All the words kind of go the same. I'll figure it out on the spot. Get to the wedding, and I start singing this song. This is the first selection. You know, as the bride and groom look at me, they're already posted. The family's looking at me outside wedding. And as I'm getting through that first hook, I'm just feeling slightly a little bit beat up.
After the first hook?
It's my first hook. Man, my vocals ain't...
They ain't vocaling.
I ain't vocaling, right? Not standing strong. As I go midway through the second verse, I'm losing it. I am losing. My vocal is getting weary. Vocal cords are getting tired completely. Yeah. My vocal cords are getting so tired that I have the words right in front of me. I start to go blind. I cannot read the words save my life. I can't see them. I'm sweating now. Okay? By the second hook, I'm trying to get through the hook. I just start to ad-lib and freestyle.
You do it in that movie. Welcome to the candy shop.
I start candy shopping your record.
Wow.
I didn't know. I had no idea what it took to sing that song. Yeah, and I thought song. I knew.
Yeah. And it's a difficult song. And so... You're okay.
No, because you can do it. So that's the beat.
But I had to sing it a million times.
You could have put a warning label on the record. I know you
don't
nice.
Try this home.
But don't try this at home first.
Try this at home first.
Before you do it at the wedding.
But I'm going to tell you, though, I was the same way. When I first got the song, one of my buddies wrote this. It was literally his wedding song, Kenny Lerum. A very unassuming, incredible songwriter. Mm-hmm. Kenny, I got this song because I'm getting married to Ellen. You know, I love her so much. And I wrote this song for her. I was like, oh, okay. So he says, hear the words first. Shh.
Right. Put out a scroll.
And I said, oh, my God. Fidelity. It was like these big words. And I was like, whoa.
The song.
And I said, wow, I don't know how I'm going to sing these words. So then he went back. It's like a day later. He said, this is how the melody goes. And when he sang the melody, I was like, wow, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I get how each thing fits. Then it was going into the studio, being the recording artist. I was like, whew, I'm glad I didn't have to sing it live, like straight down first.
Right.
Because I would have fallen apart too. I was like, where's the breath?
Right.
Okay, right. I got all that out. You know, where are all of these nuances going to come from? And how do I take, once I got to the bridge, I was like, whoa, I don't even know. We had to really work it out.
Yeah.
And once we did, though, the great Barry Eastman produced it. Once we worked it out, then I still had to figure out, and this is in every song for me live, where does it fit in my body? I don't know if you ever feel that way. Like, where does it fit? Because it's something different when you're moving and breathing and doing everything all at once and delivering a song and you want it to sound like people remember it sounding. Mm-hmm. So I had to really grow into it. Thank God it's been the saving song. I haven't had any crash and burns on it.
Mm.
I should have had one crash and burn. I'm just giving y'all some real R&B stuff.
Yeah.
I was on tour with Barry White when I first came out, and I was like constantly
your
on the road.
My first tour,
I was with Barry White. So I'm taking notes because the maestro was coming out, giving it to him every night. He had this way of, he'd walk out real slow, and he'd say, good evening.
And they go crazy.
And Ecstasy was playing in the background.
Yeah.
So if you can imagine, Ecstasy is dumping. Yeah. But he's walking out real slow. I was like, I'm going to do that. Okay, I'm taking this. I'm taking that.
But it's not going to be good. It's good evening.
Right. I'll be whispering out. So,
everybody, y'all right out there?
Right. Are y'all all right? Yeah.
Don't do that to me, too.
Right.
Don't you do that.
I took some stuff from him, too. Yeah, definitely have. But it was crazy. I was working so hard that I remember my manager and the label said, we want you to do for the executives, the black executives. And at that time, it was powerful black executives. And we get in this room, and it was the first time that I ever was completely burned out, and I didn't know what was happening. So you talking about, I was like, for you I'd give a life. I was like, I could barely sing anything. Like literally, I could not produce a note. And I had never felt that way in my entire life. And I'm in front of the biggest executives in the industry.
This is how it works.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that crazy? But in a way, I'm feeling like I'm glad I was in front of them instead of the audience. They were forgiving, and I think they understood what I was going through as a new artist coming out more than, like, oh, it would have been crazy if I had somebody paid their money.
Right. Yeah, but it was somebody in the marketing department like, yeah, you know, he's been on tour. He's, you know, he's 30 nights in.
Right, 30 right. Nights in. They covering it. Covering
you just, you have a... you have what I like to call a classic voice.
Thank you.
And it's a voice that it's straight ahead. It's doing everything it needs to do.
Mm.
Straight ahead. Like, you know, Luther didn't have to do anything. He'll throw you some woo, 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 woo. He'll throw that in there. He'll get that tug. You know what I'm saying? And that's exciting. But straight ahead.
Yeah.
It's monstrous.
Amazing. Yeah. He like was, you, oh God, he was.
You mad. Have that kind of voice where just straight ahead.
Absolutely.
Head, nothing else.
Pure tone.
Thank pure you. Tone pure and vibrato and richness. Like a Josh Groban, like just straight ahead is enough. Like yours is in a tuxedo or some jeans and a polo shirt. Like it can, doesn't matter. Mm. Like you've done it with the textures of music or the sonics of music that you performed on, where you go as a for you or I'm not too busy for you or when you groove it like
I
appreciate it.
So let's go back.
Okay. I really appreciate that.
Let's start at the beginning. Okay. Right. Okay. When did somebody say, my boy Nash right there, that boy got him, he gonna be somebody. Or when did you in your mind have the moment where you were like, oh shit.
You know, well, my mom, you know, a lot of times your mother is like, oh, my baby can sing and my mother. Right. So, you know, my mom was like, hey, was that you singing? She just heard me around the house one day. And she just said, do you want to take voice lessons? I didn't know what voice lessons was. I was like, but whatever it is, as long as I'm not in trouble. Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
You know,
take
voice lessons. How old are you at this
point? 12. Okay. About 12 years old. Okay. Now, I had sung like the first time I remember singing in front of people, I was 10 and I was in the neighborhood. One of my friends, Andrea, was like, Kenny can sing. Or they call me Kenneth. Kenneth can sing. You know, back then it's like the change, your name changes.
Kenneth.
Yeah, exactly. So she brought all the girls in the neighborhood together and she asked me to sing a song. And I sang a little song. I think I was singing like The Emotions. Remember The Emotions? They used to have a bunch of harmony stuff, high voice. You walk in the line, you turn my life around. I just started singing this falsetto kind of
at
stuff.
At 10?
Yeah, 10. At 10.
Yeah, you was popular on that
and
block.
And the girls started screaming.
Yeah, that's how it started.
And I said,
they did.
I was like, wow, you know. But it was my mom who said, do you want to take voice lessons? And it took everything to another level because she felt like I had something different. And I didn't think I was any different. I thought everybody sang. You know, my family members sang, my sister, my grandfather sang. I used to be intimidated to sing in front of my grandfather, though, because he had one of the big,
heavy
voices. Yeah. And he'd roll his R's when he sang in the church, because mainly it was church stuff. So she had me start doing voice lessons, and I sang songs like, I left my heart in San Francisco upon a hill it called to me.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
So I'm starting.
Yeah.
He's nice. Can we just pause right there? He's nice. He's nice.
It's way too easy, too.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Bro, if you did like, what's my Vegas guy?
You said Vegas?
If you did Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra.
Oh, my God.
I'm working on it now. Trust me, I record soon the... is it next month? It's next month. I start next month on the orchestra.
Bro, you go big band with that? Okay, I'm sorry. So,
but we're gonna do a little bit. We're gonna do a combination. We're gonna do some American Songbook like that because that's how I started. With some classical because I did the classical and the languages and all that. But I'm also gonna, you're gonna hear Never Too Busy with the orchestra.
I need, ooh, so yeah, I'm there. I need, you need to invite me. I need to put my clothes on.
I need to put my clothes on.
And I will. On, I'm gonna let y'all know when things happen, just in case. I know you got busy schedules.
No.
We're gonna be there.
Okay, so classes, you're learning, you're perfecting. Mm. The
and I felt like I didn't want to be a singer with any boundaries. Mm-hmm. I think Marvin Gaye,
even from a young age.
At a young age, once I sang I Left My Heart in San Francisco and Unforgettable and all that, I started going, I wonder what else I can do. Mm-hmm. I was deathly shy growing up. Music saved my life. I was deathly shy. Like I'd be very uncomfortable having this conversation back then as a young kid. Mm-hmm. And but music gave me purpose, like people could see me.
Wow.
They could see me if I sang. So when I heard myself eventually recorded and all that, I was like, what else can I do? So I started singing chamber music, and I was singing classical, and I won a scholarship for in the Maryland schools. I was a Maryland Distinguished Scholar for singing Ich grolle nicht und wenn das Herz auch bricht. You know, stuff.
Why did he look at me like stuff, I was going to know?
Yeah, thanks. Hey.
I don't know, brother. No, I don't.
So I went to Morgan State.
Yes. Oh, amazing.
Which represented amazing. The U.S. in classical music,
yeah,
under,
man,
Dr. Carter.
Ooh, yeah.
And I got a scholarship,
uh-huh,
because he just thought I was... He described me as a major talent.
Yes.
He said, just come. I said, well, who do I talk to? You just talk to him.
Talk to me. You just talk to him.
Okay. All right.
That's what's up.
And I get to class, first day of school.
Uh-huh.
And they pass everybody these sheets.
Oh, boy.
And Dr. Conway, who's playing the piano, comes, keys him up. Dr. Carter says, okay, he would grunt. He's like, talk like this, but he had perfect pitch. So I like that. Perfect pitch. Looked like James Brown. Afro and everything. Leather jacket, leather boots. The whole
thing.
Wait,
so he talked like Bishop Cognac?
He talked like a combination of Bishop Cognac and Grover.
Okay. Right.
But he had, imagine perfect pitch in this. You're not on D, I need you to be on the F. That's a the G. Wow, you, who's that you? You. Yeah. Stop it. Right. He was that. And he said, and everybody said, Shatisha. And I was like,
yeah, man.
Where y'all at?
It's intimidating. It's intimidating.
Y'all thought I was Kenny Lattimore.
I am not. Where y'all at again? Because I can't see.
Oh, man.
Oh, y'all flipped the page. Okay. All right. So when you start saying that, like, I get it, but I never got it.
Oh, man. I understand. And I feel like I was okay. I'm an okay sight reader, but because we don't have to use it as
but
much.
But you got the tone. You figured out the tone.
Man, thank you.
I
kicked my, I went to Howard.
Wait, did you get kicked out?
No, they kicked my behind.
Oh, they just kicked you out.
I went to Howard, mm-hmm, and I studied with Dr. Leroy Dorsey, who taught Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway and Angela Bush and all them. And when you're talking about that instructor, he would grab my throat. If I started singing in my throat, he'd grab my throat. He's a pretty flamboyant guy. He'd be like, get off your throat. And I'd be singing, drink to me only with thine eyes. And he was like really hardcore about things being perfect. But he said, I'm going to work with you because, again, somebody affirmed me and said, you know, something about you. And each instructor that I had did something different. There was a woman named Janet Helms, who I love dearly, who also was from Howard. She taught me like how to really be grounded as a singer. Leroy Dorsey taught me power. There's another instructor, James Holiday, who taught me falsetto. He was fascinated with he was like, I want you to be able to go up and down from your falsetto and back without hearing a break. So at some point in my life, I was able to do it. Yeah, I can't do that now. But it was like each person found something different to challenge me on.
Yeah.
And in addition to all of that, I just kept feeling like, I want to be able to sing any type of music at any point and be really good, unless I'm not good.
So they were training. They were training your voice the same way the athletes are training in their sport.
Absolutely,
like shooting coach or hitting coach or you know what I mean, like
handles.
They were literally breaking your voice down.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's amazing.
Each aspect
because you
of
don't
it.
You don't find that in many singers where they their story goes back to literally somebody picking it apart.
Yeah.
And building it up, yeah. obviously. Because yeah. you just named, what, 5 or 6 different teachers who taught you different things.
Completely. And the first person, my first vocal instructor, Marilyn Morris, it was just breathing. And they focused on my breathing. That was the basics. You know, she was my first vocal instructor. Mm-hmm. But each one, definitely, they gave me something different until I got to the point where I could combine it all. But it was the classical technique that helped me survive because I sang in bars and clubs, too. Mm-hmm. I was in a group called Mannequin when I was back at home in D.C. And we were signed to Epic Records.
Yeah.
Man, we would do 5 and 6 45-minute sets per night.
What?
In bars and clubs.
Wait.
Totally
say,
unrealistic.
Say that one more time. Say it one more time so the people
understand.
In the back.
5 and 6 45-minute sets per night doing covers. And I didn't have to sing every single set, every single song, but... Yeah. I'm saying, even if you broke it down to like 3 45-minute sets.
Because the extra Wiley was in this group, was
he? He did. He was a part of that, yeah.
Dang, do you remember To the Extreme?
sure was.
Cry No More.
Yes. Yeah.
That was my joint.
Yeah.
That was my joint.
Yeah. Yeah. Cry No More.
He was in the group with him.
And Johnny Gill's brother, Randy, was in there.
That I didn't know.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Johnny Wait, was Gill's in brother. Y'all group with y'all too?
No, the extra
was in,
group.
Yeah. He was in To the Extreme. Yes, I didn't know that.
So our DC thing was really special. And I feel like I was really blessed because I did get a chance to meet like Stacey Ladisaw and Johnny and all. Mm-hmm. And they're all everybody's still close and, you know, Tony Braxton. Mm-hmm. I remember Tony Braxton coming into a Mannequin session because she was a fan of Mannequin when I was in there. And she was like, well, you know, people say that I sound like a boy because my voice is, you know, lower and as rich as her voice is. Mm-hmm. And she said, but there's this new lady. This is, I'll show you how long ago this was. But there's this new lady out, and her name is Anita Baker.
Hey, everybody. This is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
And she got on the piano, she started singing like Sweet Love and was playing, and I was like, wow.
Oh, I would pay to see her sing that.
Wow. Right
now, for sure.
And I would pay young to see Tony her. Braxton.
Let me tell you, y'all got killers from D&B.
Let me tell you something. As we said, Anita Baker is anointed. Can we just stop?
Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely.
You can stop right there, right?
No question. I heard her sing.
Yeah, no question.
Happy Birthday the other night at the Usher concert. Mm-hmm. And I felt it in my body.
Oh yeah.
Like her tone, she just went there just for one note. And I said, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was a person who people said she wasn't a good singer.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because it's a style. It's a style.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It was something.
And it's something she perfected through the years. Because I remember her in Chapter 8. Y'all want to go way back, right? Chapter 8 was a group she was in. She may have had another one before. I know the people in L.A. know in D.C. because they played on the Quiet Storm a lot. I Just Want to Be Your Girl. If I Find a Way. I don't know if you ever heard
about to have me going to look for Chapter 8. I'm definitely going to look for Chapter 8.
Yeah, when you hear all that. Because I studied the women, too. And that's one thing I talk about in my show. Mm-hmm. Phyllis Hyman, Anita Baker, I found that when they were perfecting my falsetto in my lessons and all of that, I was like, oh, what else can I do? So I would harmonize with them and I would try to keep my falsetto in a shape where when I got into the studio, I could sing the women parts too.
Yeah.
So when I was doing my own backgrounds and stuff, I'm never too busy and I'm not too busy. You know, as a recording artist, you learn your mic technique to get in.
Yeah.
But you got to be able to produce that sound.
Yeah.
So I would, you know, think of Anita Baker sometimes. I would think of other Stephanie Mills and Jennifer Holliday. I would think of a lot of the different women who had big voices and imitate their sounds to create my background. Mm-hmm. So people would be like, who's singing your background? I'd be like, me.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, okay. But I got lost. I'm just having a good time.
Conversing with you guys, man. We in it with you, bro. Yeah,
but you know, I started thinking about all the greats that have influenced me.
When did the epic thing happen for you? You said you were the first group 19, when you first got signed.
You at Howard at this point.
I was at Howard, and it was in my first year, and I got signed, and I came out of Howard, and I started hitting the road. I was in architecture and planning, and I was like, I can't, there's no way I'm going to be able to do architecture and planning. So I said, I'm going to have to drop out of school. And they said, no, we want you to just stay. And we want you to just go to fine arts, just take some classes in fine arts. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. And I tried that, which kept me in school a little long. I still wasn't able to stay, but I remember Denise Williams came to the school. Mm-hmm. And she was like teaching. She had people from commercials, Daryl Tukes. She had engineers come in and all that, so that we as students would not just see ourselves as artists. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times we, you know, young Black kids coming up, all you can see is, I got to be the star.
Right.
And it's like, but there's so many other so things out there.
Yeah.
And she said, there's nobody that can be a better you. I definitely took that home. And she made me want to be like Luther and Patty Austin and all that, who could change their voices and they could sing these commercials. And I got a chance to do Folgers. I got a chance to do, Verizon. You know, sing jingles.
That stuff is hard.
Yeah, yeah. That stuff is really hard because you can think, oh, all I have to do is sing this melody.
Nah.
They want to hear the melody some kind of way that you, mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. Like,
they
I don't even know.
They actually, it's not even like musical in a sense what they want to hear, no, what they're asking you for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't even know how to ask you for it. And you have to just keep producing sound.
They're searching for an algorithm.
Yeah.
You know, which is the word now. But back then when I was like even like doing soundtracks and stuff, it's like these guys that aren't like super musical, but they're like, no, there's a thing that should be right here. Yep. And then right after that thing we can roll over into like, and we're like,
and they know when they feel it.
When they hear it.
And they're like, there it is.
There it is.
And you're like,
do that again.
I just did that about 20 times.
We think we've done it for 20 times.
Right? It's
like, oh. But there is something there
that they're searching for.
That I always say, sometimes people who are not as musical as we are can just hear it a different way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's value.
There's value.
There's value in what they're hearing because they're completely outside looking in.
Yeah.
And they're able to see something that sometimes we're blind to it.
Yeah. One of the valuable moments I've had that's similar to that is with Matt Jones, who was the A&R guy who's found me and brought me to Columbia Records. Mm-hmm. When I first started, I wanted to sing soft, like, melodies over hard hip hop beats. I knew it was something about that hadn't been done. Mm-hmm. And I remember going into Dave Hall and all these producers that we were trying to do all this stuff. And thank God for Faith Evans. She had come out and she had already been in that direction.
Monster.
And I was like, oh man. So a lot of the producers I think that she worked with, they had me go in and work with. But Matt came to me one day and he said, you know that soft, like that falsetto kind of thing that you have? I want you to say, because I was doing some, I was Aaron Hall in it and Charlie Wilson.
Yeah, you was getting to it.
Be your friend. You was out there.
I was doing my thing.
Because that's how you used to sing over uptempo.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then he was like, no, we want you to stand out. We want you to be different from everybody else. Oh, how affirming that was too. You know, I needed all of that to round out who I was going to be because I didn't know who I was as an artist. You know, when I did my first album, I was just a singer and I felt like, I think I'm a good singer. Mm-hmm. And you just go in and you do the best you can and you see what happens. And I didn't think I was a great writer. Mm-hmm. Never thought that. And I got a publishing deal before I
had a publishing deal. You got a deal?
You got a publishing deal?
You got a publishing?
Right.
Come
on. We'll take care of you.
We'll figure it out.
How did Matt find you?
Because you were already in a group.
Matt was, this is years later, actually. Mm-hmm. I had recorded, I had written for Glenn Jones and John Lucien. I had done all kinds of things before my solo deal came. Mm-hmm. And I think people probably thought, oh, he's not going to do the solo thing. He's just going to stop there. And I was like, no, I'm going to keep on rolling. And so I did this demo tape and I gave it to a friend of mine who was my manager for years after that great friend of mine, Colin Gale. And I said, Colin, this is what I think I should sound like. Now, it's a longer story. I guess I don't. The longer story is when I was in D.C., I felt like God said to me, your producer's in New York and you're going to have to leave DC to go to New York. And I said, okay. Nobody would ever tell you, Kenny's coming to him talking about God said anything. I wasn't that person. But in that moment, I said, no, God is saying to go to New York. My producer's there. So I went and I started telling people, and some people were like, psh, you know, okay. Yeah. And even the church I was going to and all that, they were very supportive though. And they said, well, if you're leaving, we're gonna give you some money to go. We're going to give you all this stuff. And that put some pressure on me. I was like, oh.
It's a nice church.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And they were like, we're going to send you off. Because I had done a whole bunch of
stuff. They was going to send you off to the secular world?
They were sending me to the secular world. Because my pastor at that time said, it is nothing in scripture that will say anything bad about a love song. You can't. Go lift a standard. So if you can imagine, when you
did
listen.
Did y'all grow up in the same area?
No.
No.
The youth pastor of my church said, yeah, and I hope you fail.
My God. I can imagine
have to come
that.
Back to God, because where you're getting ready to go,
yeah,
God ain't there.
You about to go hang out with the Valentine.
And see, mine was like, take God there.
That's what I thought I was doing. I was taking God there.
Yeah. I mean, and it was that's a hard place.
When we is for the Lord, man. Keep going.
No. No. But I did. I said, I'm going to go. I wanted to be like BB and CC Winans, actually. I was really coming from a gospel thing. I didn't understand the R&B thing fully. And I had a lot of problems in DC, I think, because people have vision and they say, oh, this is what you look like. This is what you sound like. This is how we can market you. I never saw myself the way other people saw me. So, and they kept saying, oh, the women are going to do this and the women are going to do that. And I was thinking to myself, really? I really did not see myself. I never grew up with people saying you're handsome and he's fine and blah, 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 or whatever. You know, all the stuff that I got later on when I became Kenny Lattimore, I did not grow up like that. So I never took it seriously. I'd be like, oh, that's cool. That's real cool. So I went to New York and went to just pursue. So I get the support because my pastor and my mom at that time said, go lift up a standard. So if anybody wants to know why are his lyrics like, you know, for you, I give a lifetime of stability, never too busy. Can we find forgiveness in the throes of our misunderstanding? What is the point of all that? Because R. Kelly was the hottest thing ever during that time period. And it was, you know.
We're getting in there.
I was in a whole different area. So it was like, how do you even fit into what's going on in the world when you're kind of like not really gospel, but you're almost. So that caused a lot of problems for me, actually.
Even with the beginning with Never Too Busy?
Even in the beginning, it was a lot of people that were like, I don't get it. Now, when Never Too Busy hit.
Then everybody understood.
Everybody was like, we kind of get it. But still, meeting me, I was the nice guy who came in. I think they wanted me to be a bad boy more. That was just the image. As a black, young black guy in the 90s, having my hair braided and thugged out, that was what was happening. And I kept fighting because I was like, but Whitney Houston exists. I was like, let me be a male version. And I'm not comparing my voice or anything to her, but let me be a male version of what she's representing because she comes from the church too. That was... But I wasn't out campaigning like at every interview going, I'm for church. I was just behind the scenes going, y'all kind of get it? Do you kind of get it? And it was difficult.
Wow.
So when I did my second project and it was more the same, I think people were just like, okay, we have to figure it out. But by then I did have an audience who immediately came to the table when From the Soul of Man, my second project came, and we developed from there. But it was difficult to be seen differently as a black man, as a young black man at that time period, and to say, why can't we be all of these things?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
As opposed to being one image or like a caricature, a cartoon, why aren't we all of these?
So what's for you?
Yes.
First hit record.
No, Never Too Busy.
No.
Well, right? Never Too Busy was the first single. And then I had a song called Just What It Takes that did a great time recording.
They got you too for you?
Keith Crouch, yeah, they got me for you, yes. And I'm. This is one of the few platforms. I'm really throwing out names and stuff.
Yeah, because we know who that is. Come on, know, the Crash Brothers.
So I appreciate you.
Come on, Kenneth Key.
I'd have been to the church.
Yeah. Oh, you know my gosh.
Yeah. What do you feel an immediate shift? Because Never Too Busy was one of my favorite records.
Thank you.
The sonic on it, like I'm a producer too. So when I made
it, Dave Hall, man.
I was like, who's doing that? Who's pitch bending right there? That's not cool.
And Kipper Jones.
Right there.
Ah, Kipper Jones.
Yeah. Kipper Jones.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, it was haunting.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
So,
because when we finished recording it, because I want to hear your whole thought.
Yeah, no, keep going.
It felt like, okay. We didn't want to sound like anybody else. We didn't want to be. And this is different.
It's haunting. Mm. Like the voicings in the track alone. And then you're dancing, the way you're dancing. And like none of it is interrupting. It's all complimentary.
Mm.
Placement is, all the placement is great.
That's a great record.
Yeah, I'll say thank you for them because they really did.
Oh man, great record. Do you see the shift then or do you see the shift in For You in terms of the size of the artist that you are and the response to you?
Hmm. Wow. When Never Too Busy came, I think I had my first glimpse of fame because I remember going to a store or something and I walked into the store and this young lady was standing there and she just went, and I was like, again, because I never took anything seriously.
You laughed.
I laughed. I was like, oh, that's really sweet. And I went and I hugged her. Ah, she started screaming. And she started screaming. And she screamed. And she kept screaming. And I was thinking to myself, okay, now I'm getting ready to leave you alone because they're going to arrest me. Before you know, they're going to be like, something he's doing, you know.
Sir, so, let go of the woman.
Let go of the one dead. We're going to take you away. So I thought to myself, wow, something has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a call too when Never Too Busy came out from Michael Jordan. And
so the Michael, yeah, you just go get it. It's champagne.
No.
Yeah, it's
champagne. No,
because listen, we've seen The Last Dance.
But
you know what I mean? No. I know you was the theme.
I wear all the shoes.
But I wear all the shoes. He's never called me.
Of course.
But I was really like, he called because he wanted Never Too Busy to be the theme song for the Michael Jordan cologne.
Dope.
Do you remember the cologne?
Yes. Yeah. Michael Jordan had everything.
Yeah. I was like, he had everything.
Because I didn't write that song, though.
Big jeans.
Yeah, you did all that.
Mike.
That's why he won't call your ass right there. Mike, he's throwing shots at
him. Mike know them big jeans is out of pocket. You know them big jeans is, come on.
Hey, man, he got a lot of money putting all in big jeans. Man.
Yeah, but I mean, there's boot cut and then there's Michael Jordan cut. Hey, come on, Jordan. Come on,
hey,
Mike.
Hey, man, Black Cat gonna whoop your ass, man.
What are you trying to hide, okay? What, you got all the nice shoes. Why wouldn't you want to put a slightly skinny jean on so you can show the shoe you're wearing?
Get out of there. Man. Get out of there.
All right.
So MJ called you.
So
it starts with the first album.
The first album, yeah.
Wow.
I didn't write the song. Publishing, so I'm not, this isn't even about Kipper and Dave Hall. The publishing company turns it down and says no.
Mm. Good job,
and
publishing company.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, what just happened to me? So I thought, oh, I'll never see him again. I just thought, hey, that's, you know. And it was, as a new artist, it was kind of devastating. Like, but at the same time, I was very optimistic that I'm just starting my career.
Turn it down for what, though?
I think because now this, I'm totally speculating when I say this. So I think that anytime anybody said Michael Jordan's name, it meant money.
It meant money. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Obviously, it was the fee.
Yeah.
It was whatever the fee. Yeah.
They're not thinking, but this is not Michael Jordan the man. This is a business.
Yeah, for sure.
That is one of his separate holdings.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And that budget may not be.
Exactly.
You can't look at that company and say it's the same as whatever he's making.
It's Nike.
To do it. It's not Nike. Yeah, it's a totally different business. Right. So they turned it down and they used something else. Now, as years later, we can go into the story. Years later, I continued to be called to do launches for the shoes and different kind of stuff. That's how that whole thing started. But it started with that song and Never Too Busy.
But Mike
the song Never Too Busy, right?
But Mike became a
he was a fan, man. I was like, wow. So to have somebody that he wasn't just a fan, but he was somebody who went through the industry, like, y'all heard this Kenny Lattimore record? Yeah. He was promoting me.
Wow. That's dope.
That's crazy.
I read it Charles Barkley one time. He was like, you know who was single-handedly promoting you in the whole NBA. And I was like, well, you say it, because I'm... He was like, yeah, MJ, man. I said, wow. I didn't know that he really had talked to as many people about the music, but that he was into... He is an R&B guy.
Yeah. Know? But that's what this music does, though. That's what music does. Yes. It gets to people, and when somebody can promote you,
yeah,
that's a whole nother thing. It's one thing to like something,
yeah,
but it's another thing to be like, have you heard the...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's when somebody is really invested in what... That's when they're really invested in what you're doing.
Yeah. Like, and I thought, well, maybe he likes For You, and he likes, you know... And I prepared a set, because he had me sing at a luncheon one day, and the first time I sang, and he was like, you know what my song really is? It's Forever. Okay. I was like, if you know Forever...
All right, he picked the album.
You picked an album, because you really, really know this album. Yeah. He was like, no, I really love this album. And Barry Eastman happened to be with me on that first time meeting him and singing for him. And I was like, Barry, how can we even pull this off? Because do you know Forever? For whatever reason, Barry knew that song.
It. Yeah, he was ready.
He didn't produce that song. And I guess he was just listening to the album, and he knew the progressions and all that. And Michael Jordan was like, I want to bring my buddy Ahmad Rashad in, and I just want you to sing it for us, just right now. And I said, okay, this is something else. This is something on some other level.
Just the king and his friend?
That was it.
It'll just be us
and
two.
I did the, yep. And then he said, then everybody else can come in, and you can sing for the rest of them.
Boss. That's how it goes. So that's, at this point, For You is out, like you said, For You is out, and you're starting to really receive that admiration.
Yeah, that this is a success
from the world now.
Yeah, like, wow.
Have you embraced it, though? Because I remember you going into the shy thing and not really understanding the compliments, or so to speak, and like, that's cute, but are you embracing it? Are you starting to own it, as we R&B cats sometimes?
Sometimes we do. Yeah. We overown it.
You heard that song I got?
Control it.
Have you heard it?
Right.
Yeah. It's the choir boy moment from Five Heartbeats. You know, I write all the songs.
Hey, that's what's up.
I know all the parts. I know all those parts. Did you ever have that moment where you're like, okay, I've arrived?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. Even now, I'm sharing these stories, it makes it like, whoa, yeah, that did happen. Wow, that happened. I can tell you another thing that happened to me, huge, probably the biggest thing that happened to me. All of this was happening kind of around the same time, too. Mm-hmm. I get a call, and social media and websites and stuff is new. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of the first artists, maybe the first R&B artist, if not Maxwell might have been, or me doing social media at Sony. And we start getting messages from South Africa. And I'm like, what is this? We're reading, somebody goes, oh, Kenny Lattimore was one of my favorite artists. Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson, and Kenny Lattimore. And I'm going...
That is a group.
How did I get into that, you know? And my mother had a huge affinity with Africa. We had African boarders growing up, where she would have them live with us and teach how to become acclimated to America and things like that, because she was an educator. And she worked at Howard, and she worked at Lincoln University.
Mm-hmm.
And she did not live. That's the one thing I didn't say. So far as my mom passed also during the time that Mannequin's album, during the time I actually arrived at recording and having something on a label, my mother passed. Mm-hmm. But she had put so much in me, so much love for me, my character, for people, all of that. So I arrive in South Africa, and it's like I set foot on the continent as a king. And I'm thinking to myself, what is really going on? They had promoted this music so much. And there was a political thing going, because as an American artist, most of us can step foot on the continent of Africa, or particularly South Africa, and they're going to love you because they love R&B. Mm-hmm. They love it. But when I got there, men were being told that they could rape a virgin and be cured of AIDS. What? So if you can imagine, that was a myth in South Africa in 98. If you rape a virgin, you could be cured of AIDS. So this is spreading AIDS rapidly through the country. And then I set foot on this continent, and I'm all nostalgic, thinking about my mom and all that, and everything was so much bigger than me.
Yeah.
They needed the guy who was saying, for you, I give a lifetime of stability. The women needed to hear me say these words to them. So it was like a political movement.
Around the record.
Around the record.
Wow.
So I was there to sing for Nelson Mandela's 80th birthday.
Of course you did. Yeah. Of course you did.
So it was a...
Have you ever sang?
Very powerful. And it was other great artists. Drew Hill was with us. Chaka Khan. Stevie Wonder was with us. Najee was with us. But I just was like, I want to go everywhere. And I want to see everybody, because if this is how this music is actually affecting people, mm-hmm. I have to be everywhere. I have to use it was like I had a superpower that I didn't know.
So you just stayed over there?
I stayed over there as long as I could. And I frequently went back. I convinced Anthony Hamilton to go over one for the, he's like huge, huge over there now. But I remember him, we went over together for his first visit. And you go and you do stadiums and you do, you know, the people are crying. It was the whole Michael Jackson, the thing that you associate with Michael Jackson. I was kind of happy to see what that was like early in my career. It's like, oh, this is what it's like to not be able to go out of your room. These women are coming to my room and just crying. I mean, they're just, you know, if they knock and they can see me, they're just crying. And It was overwhelming. I was getting some of that in the U.S., but over in Africa, it was on a whole different level. But then I felt like, okay, I'm really famous. Messed my head up a little bit. The next stop, I was going to Amsterdam and then through Europe, and I wasn't singing because I wasn't promoted. That's a whole different story. I was not promoted in Europe, but I got to Europe. And they were like, get out the way, move out of the way. And I was like, oh, I'm back down to earth now. Okay.
Wow.
But it was an extreme just like that I needed.
Yeah.
I needed that because one of my aunts, my aunt told me, who I love so much, gosh, my auntie Wee, she said, everybody's not going to like you. She told me that before Never Too Busy came out. And I used to feel like, why? Why are you telling me that? Yeah, you know, that's but it was a reality, you know, that everybody's not gonna like you. So just be humble and enjoy the ride, enjoy the experience. And then in that moment, going from king to nobody knowing me again was a sense of reality and groundedness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Whew, let me take a deep breath and pull my pants up like everybody else and start walking.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of work to do.
Right.
So I never felt like I arrived musically. I've been affirmed by some of the greatest artists in the world.
I'm sure.
But it's just, and I always was just grateful.
Hey everyone, I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
So here we go, Mr. King Lattimore. You do a lot of history talking when you talk. You throw out a lot of historical names when you talk. We want to know your top five R&B singers.
Wow.
Male or female?
Male or female.
Your top five. I know it changes, it fluctuates, depends on the day and how you feel.
Can I put male in a different category? It used to be that they were separated. And I know the Grammys don't separate them.
He might start talking that talk. Yeah.
They don't separate this stuff no more. It's very hard to compare women's voices and men's voices for me, but I'll try.
It's your top five. I just said it could be a list with men and women, but however you want to do it, your list, top five.
Let me give you my guys. I can't, not in this order in particular. Yeah. Stevie's there. Luther Vandross's voice.
Wow.
Marvin Gaye's voice.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
You know what? I gotta give people Bryson's voice.
Ooh. Yeah, come on, people. Yeah.
Man, I only have one more that I just to put in the mix. Teddy Pendergrass.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And the reason why I think all those five is because they had the ability to do so many different things with their voices.
Mm-hmm.
They could caress a song.
Yeah.
And they can blow a song out.
Yeah.
So much versatility.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that's not only, can I go, an honorable mention, this is on the gospel side, somebody I listen to quite a bit who is amazing and who totally shaped my idea of singing, and that's Daryl Coley.
I was getting ready to say, you are from the tribe of Daryl Coley. Yeah. Oh, my mama. Yeah.
And I'm sorry I didn't say Donny Hathaway either. Okay. Oh, God. See, he could go on and on. Okay, on. I got it. Okay, I'm going to stop there.
Because I just started looking into the tribe of Daryl Coley.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, there's Joe. Yeah. There's Mario. And then when you were just singing, I was like, you got a lot of Daryl Coley on you.
Oh, man.
I mean, his control was
nice.
Special. He was the first on-demand singer I'd ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just on demand.
Yeah.
Dial up.
Yeah. Pretty much what he's just been doing this whole
and
time.
Land
just dialing it up.
He's just been dialing it up this whole, just, you know, he'll just break out and just, go into chamber music. Like,
you know,
like,
what? That's just not being afraid. Even if I had cracked or whatever.
This is what it is.
When you get to a certain time in your life, it doesn't matter. It's like a human moment. Shaka was like that in Echoes of an Era in the 80s. I remember reading a liner note where she said, I want people to hear my voice crack. I want them to hear the rawness of my voice. And at that particular time, I think it was very important. I listened to that, and that also made me not care as much.
At all.
Because we're human.
Listen.
Jasmine Sullivan ain't
Mary J. Blige made me say, is that what we doing?
Right.
Okay, we just gonna give it all right, of it?
All of it.
Oh, no matter what? Got it. Yeah. She's the queen of, I'm giving you everything I got.
Very true.
And you're gonna like it.
And that's what what the originators did, though. That's what the James Browns of the world did.
They went there.
Yeah,
James, man. Sheesh. I mean, think of all the stuff he could do with his voice. I mean, we know him.
He was a monster.
We know, because we know the get on up, but he was a
monster
vocalist.
It's the same way they don't give Rick James his credit.
Oh,
monster vocalist,
super talented. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Still top five R&B songs.
Oof, man.
Do you get tricky?
Maybe go back to the guys and go as for Stevie.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, because the song was translated many times, A House Is Not a Home, because of its ability to be transformed as well. Mm. Songs, though, great songs. Purple Rain.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Kenny Burns. For inviting us to a birthday party. We were able to go to the Paisley Park. I mean, you probably were there before. We sure you were there before. Probably you, Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley.
I got a call.
And Nelson Mandela.
He said, I got the call.
Oh, you passed up on going, all right, even better.
You know, a very simple but great song that's been covered so much too, Love Ballad.
Yeah.
Yes. Jeffrey Osborne.
Come on, J.O.
When I think of his. And another, these are cover songs, because I got to go back to Donny Hathaway. The Song for You, just a great song.
Straight Ahead.
Yeah, Straight Ahead, simple. Those are the simple.
Yeah. Monsters.
Yeah.
For You by Kenny Lyram. Sung by Kenny Lattimore.
Sang by. Yeah. The Kennys did it. The Kennys did
it. Honestly, one of the most brilliant songs I've ever heard. Yeah.
So did you sing it at their wedding too?
Yes, I sang it at their reception. Actually, they're Catholic, so you couldn't sing it in a church. At least back then, you couldn't.
Oh, wow.
But I sang it at their reception.
Wow. Yeah. And this is before it ever comes out?
Before it ever came out, yeah.
Wow.
And I asked him, I said, could I put this on my demo? He was like, yeah, sure. But we were in that kind of space anyway.
Yeah.
He was writing, and we were trying to make it together. And my mother used to say it. She said, something's going to happen. It's going to be Lattimore and Lyram.
Yeah.
She said that before she died.
Oh, that's dope.
Wow.
That's dope. So it's true if someone tells you, yeah, you know, I was at this reception back in the day, and you know, I told them, and then they go to, you know, they do the LeBron thing. Well, I told them, and I knew already that it was gonna happen before it happened.
Yeah, man.
So it really did.
That
happen.
Really did.
You
happen.
Really did sing this it song really at happen. Somebody's reception,
which
before
makes
it, ever
it
come
authentic
out.
And just not way, pretentious.
It's
just
way
you know?
Different.
We didn't sit down and go, you know, let's come with a wedding song that's gonna make us a bunch of money. And
it wasn't even that. It was just it
organic,
was the true sentiment.
Yeah. It was literally, moment. This is how I feel about
living in the
it.
Moment.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's
okay. Great. We're going to do R&B Voltron. Okay. We're going to create your perfect R&B singer.
Mm.
We're going to ask you where you want to get, who you would get the vocals from, who you would get the styling from, who you would get the performance style from, and who you would get the passion from. Let's start with the vocal. Who are you getting the vocal from to build your R&B artist?
Wow. I would start with the voice of... Okay, let me think. Let me go outside of where I've been. We'll start with Jasmine Sullivan. I'm going to take her voice. Mm-hmm. It's a whole lot of those qualities that are all in her.
It's a right there. So, I know what you're saying. So like all the pieces that have come before her are more
already there
into her. Okay. Okay.
But the next one was performance style.
No. Next one is, well, we can go performance style. Yeah. Let's go.
Okay. Performance style meaning stage.
Stage.
Erykah Badu.
Yeah.
Fearless.
Yeah, yeah. And she controls the crowd.
Erykah Badu controls the crowd even when she's not on stage. I opened for Erykah Badu, and it seemed like they were told, or they knew,
not to like me
or not to like anything happening until she came on stage. I'm sweating. I know I'm singing great. I'm performing great. I'm gyrating at the hips.
They're like, that ain't it, champ.
They're like, that ain't it.
That ain't it.
You ain't got no incense, champ. Where your tea at? You ain't got no tea. And she walks out there with some sage burning and starts pouring her tea, and they go, ah.
Yes, I was like, yeah, turns them out.
Somebody told y'all to do that.
Yeah. But at the same time, the confidence.
Owns it. She owns it.
Jill Scott has that same.
Yes.
Like it's the same kind of. Yes. It's the same kind of stand there and look you in your face.
I'm like, here.
And it's like.
Smiling.
No matter how many thousands of people it is, it feels like they're looking you right in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very personal.
Very personal.
Very personal.
Yeah. I love
it. Yeah, okay. That microphone video she did was very personal when I watched. I was like, oh, this is great. Mm-hmm. This is great. Mm-hmm.
Styling. Who do you want your artist to look like? What they putting on? Who put that thing on for you?
Sade. Yeah. We're gonna keep it just classic,
clean.
Simple, clean, sexy.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always beautiful.
It's a ponytail.
Yeah.
It's
a ponytail.
Yeah.
It's never too much.
Never too much. Yep. Yep.
It's always right. Mm-hmm. How does she do that? Always right. I've never seen Sade out of pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Have you seen her in person?
I have not. I got
something over. King Latimer.
Yeah.
I got one thing.
Oh, one thing.
I got one thing.
I'm sure you got a list.
I got one thing.
I felt like I'm like, is he searching?
I'm searching on pod. He's killing me right now. He's like, he up 9-1. All right.
9-1.
Now, who you getting the passion from? The heart of the artist.
Ooh. I think the passion has got to come. I'm thinking the passion's got to come from an older artist, mm-hmm. like Aretha, who.
There's no argument in that.
Yeah, who is another who would leave it all on the floor too, like Mary. That's why the comparison. I believe that
Aretha was a killer.
Yeah.
Ahead of her time, so far ahead of her time, though.
Yeah. And could do everything.
Anything. A killer, though. You could, like, there are certain singers that can sing and that'll do what they can do, you know, perform their shows and do all the, but I always got the sense that Aretha was making sure you knew this different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know what them other people doing.
Yeah.
But this right here.
This is different.
This is
different. Yeah.
And I think she was that way all the way to the end.
Yeah.
She got that
piano.
All the way up.
Yeah. Go crazy.
I like what you did though. You know, he used all the male, top five male. And then you went back to the women. I see what you're doing.
Because it's like hard to compare men and
smart
women
man.
Their voices.
Smart
and
man. Yeah.
That. Because there's so many different nuances. And I have to give some honorable mentions. This person had the passion, the look, the uniqueness, fearless. Phyllis Hyman.
Hmm.
And was so studied. And when she did jazz, she was just impeccable. And when she did R&B, she was impeccable. I mean, just another like monster.
So great.
Like where you just sit back. But then you want also, I got the one gospel person at least and put Karen Clark Sheard in just to say, fearless. Mama, I saw her in an interview. She said, Mama told me to just bust the place wide open every time I sung. That's the kind of passion that she had every time. Because we come from that gospel root. Yeah. A lot of us did, you know, the Gladys Knights and so many people that when you think of why people can flat foot stand there, everybody has a story, you know. Everybody has a great story, too.
But I think the fearlessness, right? I was watching an interview with Iman Shumpert, mm-hmm. and he was talking about Carmelo Anthony, and he was like, "Man, I'm yelling. I'm like, bro, I'm wide open. You know what I'm saying? They're collapsing two on you. You know what I'm saying? And then you shooting the ball, and he's like, Carmelo looked at me and said, "Listen, I work on that."
Hmm.
He trained for those difficult moments.
Yeah.
So you're fearless because you work on impossible things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're at the house pushing yourself. You're pushing the boundaries and continuing to push the line of what even what you think you're capable of.
Yeah. Yeah.
So by the time you get in front of an audience.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Oh, can I say, Iman's wife, Tiana.
A full talent, full gift.
Okay, I got special. Another little flex, though. And she grew up as my cousin. Look.
Wait, really? That's family, too?
That's family, but through marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And our families are not connected in the same way that they were, but I got a chance to see her from the beginning.
Wow.
Yeah.
And to see her from the beginning... she's the same.
Absolutely.
It's like she came into the world.
I've known her since she
this
was
pink.
Yeah. 15.
Yeah. She came. It's like she came in like
I was
that.
At her showcase.
Yeah.
I was at her first showcase in LA.
Uh-huh.
The one down in Santa Monica.
Yep.
Yep. When she was doing Google Me Baby.
Yep.
Yep. I know it's for real. Yeah,
over at Interscope.
Yeah. Yep.
Over
Interscope.
She's a monster
talent. And sometimes she I don't know if you got it. Yeah, definitely. She needs to tell her story about how to manage artistry, because to be associated with some of the huge giants mm-hmm. and craft a career,
yep.
and it was at a strange time mm-hmm. when her career was starting. I can't really tell her story or anything like that. But yeah, it would be interesting. I should probably be asking these questions. Like when I think about new artists coming, she was just a force. I think a force that could not be stopped.
Yeah. Still is.
Yeah, and she still is.
Still is.
So everything she touched, everything she did, I think people understood that this is a true influencer and it's organic again. And we're in that age where artists have to be that, where I didn't have to be that necessarily. I guess we did. We had time to grow into it.
We had, we were the last generation mm-hmm. where it was kind of served up to us.
Yes, yeah.
Here's your directors, pick one.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the treatment, pick yep. one.
Yeah.
Here's your stylist, pick one.
Yeah. Tiana Taylor's out here. She is the stylist.
She is the stylist.
She is the director.
Is the video director. Yep.
And the choreographer.
And the choreographer.
Well, she's going to choose. Yeah. She knows this is the right person.
Her and
this
that Chris right Brown and that those alien kids.
Yeah.
They're just different.
Yeah.
And I love them to death. Them my babies right there.
Yeah.
I love them.
Absolutely.
Get him. I know he got something.
I
know he got something.
I want to see if he's going to go there with us.
He's going to go there.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. So
I believe we
got a segment of the show.
Okay.
Very important segment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Probably the most important.
Really important, man. It's called I Ain't Saying No Names. Yeah. Yes, sir. It's a story. Okay. It can either be funny or fucked up.
Okay.
Or funny and fucked up.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The only rule to the story and the game is you just can't say the names.
Okay.
You can't say who was with you.
Not saying.
You can't say who was with you.
Okay.
You know, who was against you.
or whose house it was. Or whose shoot program it was a part of. Can't see none of that.
So, yeah, you know, right now, we're going to introduce it. This is Kenny Lattimore's I Ain't Saying No Names.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Take a sip.
Take a sip, man.
Hydrate. Get hydrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. He's a veteran. Takes his time. Muddle over his drink. Look at his drink.
I'm trying to keep it classy. Let's see here.
I mean, we ain't saying no names. You know.
Technically, you might not even been there. Okay.
Right. Ooh, I'm really thinking, y'all. Mm-hmm. I'm really, really trying to pull it together.
We here, baby. We here.
You want to jog on my memory? He might be like, "Ooh, that happened. Oh, whoa." Right. I can give you something simple. I'll give you something simple. Let me think here. This was a funny moment for me. This may not be, I'm gonna keep it simple. This was a funny moment for me, but it's an early moment. This person, if they realize who they are, I love you. I love you tremendously. But this really did happen. A person is sound checking. And they don't want anybody to look at them while they're sound checking, because I think they're still evolving. This person is an amazing artist too. Yeah. And somebody who I'd love to work with, but they didn't want people to look at them. So we're sound checking and we're sitting, and the person's like, I don't want people looking at me because, you know, you're out on, there's a group of people that are traveling together. Can you lower the lights? And the lights go down to maybe like where they are now, and the person's still not comfortable. And they're like, can you lower the lights more? And the sound people get upset. And all of a sudden, boom, the whole place is pitch black. And we all are just sitting there in pitch black darkness in an arena. And then the lights come back on. And of course, the person like just walks off the stage.
So do they sing when it goes pitch black, or they don't sing then either?
No, they're pissed. They're pissed. It's like, you just embarrassed me in front of everybody just to turn my... But it, as opposed to just making it sensual, and they just shoot and they're gone, and it's like, next, and we're all like, whoa, oh, okay.
And this is the only business you can get away with that. Only business. You can't get away with that in anything. I want to do my shoot around in the dark.
Yeah, but the sound stuff and the lighting people, I'm not saying no names. I'll give you one more. I'm out on a tour.
We're getting a double.
And I'm helping to promote some new acts that are on Columbia. And we're touring. And one of the acts decides to choke out the sound man. Choke out the sound man. Okay.
Don't play with my sound, baby.
And of course, it's kicked off the tour. And but it's always interesting when somebody's advertised and all that kind of stuff. You got to come in. You can't really say what happened. You can't really, you know, and all we can do is smile, and you just, the show must go on.
The show must go on.
And you go on and you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So we got the lights off.
Oh, yeah. We got the lights off and the choke out.
And the choke out.
Those are my R&B, you know, nice stories.
It is crazy how artists be like, don't look at me, or clear the hallways, or...
Oh,
hey, clear the hallways is hilarious.
Clear the hallways. Mm-hmm.
Clear the hallways is hilarious.
And I'll be like, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
I think I feed off of people in the energy.
Yeah,
while
yeah.
I'm
you a vibe person.
While
anyway.
I'm walking to
it's
the stage.
Wow, they're here.
Like, it's like, but even seeing the other artists that are on, you know, that are on the bill. Like, what up, boy? You killed it. That was crazy. I'm gonna try to do a little something. Right. I heard you. Right. I'm gonna try to get. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'll see you. I'll see. Like, all of that energy, I think, is so dope and needed. But you know, I guess you know.
Maybe people getting in their zone. It's just
Everybody's zone is different.
Everybody's zone.
I can't be mad. But this is my brother, Mr. Kenneth Lattimore. You're awesome, brother.
Thank you.
You are awesome.
Amazing. You are, I mean, both of you are awesome.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you having me, giving me a voice to tell all my stories.
Well, you deserve that. And
thank you.
You know, there are, of course, more than you know, people who look up to you, people who respect you.
Thank you.
And people who want to hear from you. Mm. Right? We were talking to Mike City the other day, and we were like, the information that we have is so necessary. It is necessary to preserve the art form.
It's true. It's very true.
And so we have to be proactive with making sure that information and those teachings continue.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, My son wants to be a part of this industry and will, and is a part of it actually already, because I've given him the opportunity to work professionally in it and everything. But I agree with you 100% because, one, he has the benefit of me, but I still don't just put him on.
Yeah.
I want to see, do you have the passion for this? Because a lot of times people don't really have the passion for this. And the first little thing that happens, I'm tired, I'm this, I'm that. Yep. And the respect of what we've done through the years and what we've sacrificed is so important. I think that some of the talent shows have been rough too. As much as they've identified some really amazing artists like American Idol and stuff like that, identified some amazing artists. All those other people that didn't make it, that may have gotten some television exposure or what have you. Sometimes I think some of them, not all of them, of course, have come in a little jaded that, this is going to be my instant.
Yeah.
It's been a part of that instant fame
thing.
Not
how
this
thing works. Not how it works.
And I don't take my son through unnecessary things, but in order to teach him, I tell him, struggle will make you stronger. If you don't exercise muscles, if you're not pushing against anything, your muscles will be weak.
Not going to grow.
And you're not going to be ready for what the world is going to throw at you.
Because there will be opposition.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, listen, man, we love you.
Thank you. Love you back.
We appreciate
you. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
I am Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the R&B Money Podcast, the authority on all things. Been waiting to say that. R&B. And we have living proof right here in Mr. Kenny Lattimore.
Yes, sir.
R&B Money.
R&B Money is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Don't forget to subscribe to and rate our show. And you can connect with us on social media at Jay Valentine and at The Real Tank. For the extended episode, subscribe to youtube.com/R&B Money.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.